Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello!
Bonjour!
Bonsoir! Maybe you're listening in the evening. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. People Welcome. Listen to this at all times of day.
Do they actually?
I assume so, yeah.
What time is it where you are? For us, it is currently 2:23 in the afternoon. What time were we supposed to start today? 11:30.
11:30 a.m. Yeah, that's
that was the original plan.
That was really long been out the window now.
It's not gone well. So if this is your first episode, this is going to be so enjoyable. Because
do you know how many times we say, oh, maybe if this is your first episode, don't listen to this one? Like, I think every other episode we introduce the episode by saying that.
Listen to one of the early episodes where we had a format that we were trying to stick to. Through the fog, step Trusty Hogs, yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them, or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the Trusty Hogs. Trust the Trusty Hogs, or maybe not. This is episode 94. Mm-hmm. It's all gone to shit. Tell you what else has gone to shit. I've got to say it. Catherine Bohart's got the shit.
Catherine Bohart's got the shit.
Honestly. Like, just really quickly, this is a podcast where myself, Helen Hello. Bauer, usually a comedian called Catherine Bohart. Instead, we've got our producer and comedian, Andrew White, Hello. Joining us today because Catherine has got the shits. I'll say this. She said I could mention it, but not to go over it loads of times. All I will say is I think it's just good for people in general when someone who's as classically beautiful and put together as Catherine gets the shits.
Oh, yeah. It's a real sort of grounding moment for everyone to be like, oh, we're all human. We're all the same. No matter how much you strive for perfection,
water
you're still
can
gonna
come
get
out your asshole.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Because I think when I get the shits, it's like, oh, Helen's got the shits again. Whereas when Catherine gets the shits, it's like, wow. It can hit a princess.
I suppose it's actually quite a nice metaphor because you're thinking, oh, everything's quite binary, like you're either beautiful or ugly or whatever. And you think, oh, you think it's very solid. But actually, no, it's quite liquid. like Catherine shits.
This makes me so happy because she rung me. I missed the call because I was like in the shower or something. And then I saw like a couple of messages from her being like, oh, I'm really sick. And I was like, okay, well, this might be a serious sickness. So like, let's call back. So I called back and she was like, you're going to love this. And I was like, it's got to be either the shits or a period that stained her mattress. Because that's also like one of my favourite things is like Catherine creating a stain because she's yet to do it. But I know it's going to happen.
One day.
But she got the shits. And then as she was telling me about it, I needed to get dressed because I was just out of the shower. So I was like fully naked in front of her. And then she got really upset because she couldn't enjoy the show because she had to hold her asshole. So Catherine, it's not here. And I don't know why it's made me so happy. But I appreciate her honesty. I think even a year ago, she would never have told me.
No, I feel like what's it called, the Overton window about like political
Overton
discourse?
Overton window.
Oh, sort of like where the political discourse is in like the media and the public eye and stuff. I will say I'm not very across this, so I don't want to.
Oh, nothing
use it
we say we've researched, just to be clear. But, they know that.
But the point is, like, what's considered like extreme, like right wing has like shifted over the years. So like, there's a speech of like George Bush being like, oh no, we've got to be kind to illegal immigrants. They're still people, and now obviously. Window shifted, so I think that's roughly what it is. Anyway, point is, Catherine's Overton window of dignity has shifted through this podcast.
I'm over the moon.
Via your sharing and your sort of coaxing out of her. I think she's now got an entirely different set of personal standards.
I ended the phone call by being like, okay, no, I won't tell anyone, that'd be so awful of me, I would never do it. And then just like had her just sort of saying her goodbyes as I walked into the living room and went, Sunil, Catherine's got the shit. And I just had to go, ah, and I hung up. I was like, this is the most perfect day ever. Not as perfect as your weekend though, Andrew.
A very lovely weekend.
I'm actually so glad Catherine's not here for this chat, because tell us what you did.
I went to Paris. Ooh. The city of love.
Gay Paris,
yes, yes. And we gayed it up. Me and my lovely boyfriend Reese went. Went for 3 days. Well, which we did. So my parents were out there for about a fortnight, mm-hmm. In a sort of family holiday situation with my godfather and his children.
And you were like, I'm going to bring along my twink.
Yeah. So I put my hand luggage twink in the packing, took him over on the Eurostar, and it was great. We got into Paris, and then we went to Paris to Laon, which is where they were staying in a centre park.
Laon,
Laon. Ooh. I don't know. Yeah,
I thought you were trying to say Leon, but
not. No, not Leon. It's just like a little village, but there's centre parks there. Yeah, because my mother read for shame in the Daily Mail that centre parks in Europe is like half the price of centre parks in the UK, and even with all the travel, it like works out much cheaper.
That's insane, isn't it?
Debbie loves the Mail Online. I think the overly descriptive titles really work for the way she processes news. I don't know why, but
I mean, they do have the worst and best gossip. Mm. Worst as in like it's trash and it's not okay and it's always body shaming and awful and cruel to women, but so good. Yeah. It's so clickbaity. We all fall down those tunnels.
Oh, we really do. I've got that and the Sun website blocked on our personal Wi-Fi, which I've not actually told my housemate yet. So he probably thinks, if he's ever tried to click on those articles, that there's some sort of issue with our internet. But it's just me who've blocked them. I don't know.
Good for you.
Anyway, she read Centre Park's cheaper in Europe. So they went over to Centre Park's for a couple of days. Charming. And we joined them for a day in the Centre Park's.
Charming.
Went on a pedalo. I love a pedalo.
Now, is it like as old as I think it is? Like as far as the clientele at Centre Parks?
No, it wasn't too bad.
Okay,
it was
good.
Very French, which is understandable because we are in France. But, you know, I think I'd notice, again, to sort of use this analogy that I'm not 100% of, the Overton window of British welcomeness has shifted in France.
They hate us.
I think they do hate us.
They already did, man. Like, they already did.
So I think Centre Park, considering it was definitely a place for, like, British tourists that will be coming regularly, very little English speaking, very little sort of English translation, which I don't want to be, like, ignorant English and like, oh, why isn't it in our language? But, like, I think that's a notable shift from where we've been before.
I love that.
And Disneyland was the same. Very, very minimal sort of English accommodation. The Stitch live show only had, like, one English showing. Otherwise, it was entirely in French.
Okay, I kind of love that, though. I don't know why. Yeah. I just think it's because, like, in general, like, we just don't speak other languages. Mm. And then, like, we just walk up to people and just immediately start speaking in English. Whereas if someone does that here, the waitress is like, I don't know, I don't speak it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't speak frog. Sorry, don't speak frog. It's fucking awful. Okay, so you do Centre Parks.
Yes, we did Centre Parks, pedalos, all the, you know, this sort of Centre Parks thing. We played badminton. I got very competitive at badminton. And you'll like this. I think this is a thing that's funnier in the moment, but I think you might enjoy the retelling. There's a bit where I lunge to get the shuttlecock, which is already amusing because it's called a shuttlecock.
Yeah.
I get it over, I win the point. But as I lunge and hit, I make contact with the shuttlecock and lunge, and in the same swift movement, let out such a massive fart. But not like, it's like a sharp, like, so it's really like, it's like emphasizing the sort of
amazing.
And
yeah,
it really overshadowed my athleticism, really, because it was quite a beautiful
point.
Wait, did
point everyone
that I
hear
won.
It?
Yeah, we were in like a really sort of, you know, big cavernous, like, leisure centre.
Oh, thing. Inside.
It was indoors. So it went, and then it just went, just all around the leisure centre. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I hate it when you're like doing such a perfect moment. But did you get it back over the net?
I did. I won the point, yeah. It was
so proud of you.
It was a fantastic rally. Thank you.
So disgusting. So amazing.
It was beautiful.
So you did shuttlecock, mm-hmm. you did pedalos.
Yeah.
Day with the family.
Yeah.
Next step.
Disneyland. It was amazing.
Oh my God. Right, just talk me through the day because you know this is my passion subject. Uh-huh.
So Vicky and Andrew said, I'll go to the studios first because the Disneyland's in Paris is in two parks. You've got
but
studios.
They're right next door to each other.
And Fantasyland, yeah.
It's Magical Kingdom, not Fantasyland.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Fantasyland
is part of Magical Kingdom. God. Yeah, no, it's okay. Just think.
Sorry.
Yeah. Don't be sorry, be better. You went to Hollywood Studios first.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios
amazing.
First. So that's much more Pixar themed, maybe a bit more modern, maybe a bit more adult.
Yeah.
So like Hollywood Tower of Terror's there, which we did queue up for.
Such a good ride.
It was very fun. I've never done it before.
Oh my God, we did it when I went with Alice and Francis. I think we did it three times in a row. It was insane. It was like running off, running back on because it was empty. It was so good.
That's the thing. If a ride is empty, you have to get straight back on.
Just constantly go on it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
So we did that. We did the new Ratatouille ride.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is the sweetest ride. I am obsessed with it.
It's very adorable. You're just like, you go into a little rat cart.
Yes.
And then everything's from the point of view of the rat. And you're like going around the kitchen. You're like climbing over the rooftops of Paris.
And they put like a champagne cork in your face and you get sprayed.
Yeah.
And then the fire starts above you and you have to run away. And then you go through a fridge. It's so cute. Now tell me what rides you did at Magic Kingdom.
We did Indiana Jones.
Fun.
We did Space Mountain, Hyperspace Mountain.
Oh, so you
sorry.
Did the roller coasters then.
Yeah,
this
we
makes
did the
sense.
Roller coasters there. We did It's a Small World. My mother insisted on going, and It's a Small World. It's my nan's favourite as well.
Oh, that's sweet.
She's got a very creepy doll from the It's a Small World ride. Yeah, you can buy the individual dolls.
God.
Not off the ride, obviously. But
We could just grab one off the ride. It's cheaper that way.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Very flirty hippo in the It's a Small World ride. I don't know.
Is that?
Yeah, I can't remember which land it would be. They're all like slightly bordering on. Is this culturally insensitive?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
But there's one land with hippos, and based on that fact, I'd guess it was a sort of a African land.
It must be.
And there's a hippo that's just like giving you the eyes.
I looked over
to Reese and I was like, this hippo's trying to fuck.
And was Reese just rock hard?
Reese trying to give it the evils, like, back off.
I'd love it. It's like looking at hippo being, I was like, hippo flirting, turning around to your family, all the men rock hard, and the women just jiggling in their seats, just trying to stimulate themselves.
Yeah, this is one of the most childlike rides at Disneyland. That would be very inappropriate, Helen.
Isn't that the ride that Ross, like, slept with someone on? Like, Ross and Carol, and he gets banned. Oh, you don't know all the Friends references, don't
I
you?
I have.
This is, yeah,
this
okay.
This is probably the most controversial thing of the episode. Never seen an episode of Friends.
It just ages me when you say stuff like that. But I swear there's a line in Friends where Ross is like banned from the It's a Small World ride because him and Carol jumped off it and fucked.
Fun. Okay, that's fun.
Now that is culturally insensitive.
That
depends on which land. If it's in Paris, go for it. City of love.
Of course.
Fucking fuck away.
The Parisians be like, oh, yes, another couple fucking on It's a Small World.
Maybe. See, this is why they hate us.
Yeah.
Did you stay and watch the fireworks in the evening?
No. We were going to stick around because we thought it would be a parade and we all wanted to watch a nighttime parade, but it was just fireworks and we were like, fireworks.
It's also so emotionally draining at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so beautiful, but they play all the most emotional little parts of songs.
Yeah.
So they'll like be doing Pocahontas and it'll suddenly start doing like Go the Distance from Hercules and you'll be like, oh, I literally, like, my feet hurt, I'm exhausted, and now I'm like having a mental breakdown.
Mm.
And it's too much. And I just don't want you having that breakdown in front of your family because you're already like, I don't want to project, but on a family holiday, you're constantly feeling a bit weak.
Yes.
Because you're managing a lot of different personalities that probably shouldn't be together.
Yeah. It was, it was fine. It was fine. I was
fine.
There for 3 days.
What does that mean? Functionally... Like, what is it again? There's like an anagram for it. My mum used it once.
I think
frail, like, incompetent. Like, something I can't remember.
This is an Anne Bauer thing.
It is. There's an anagram for fine. And then, like, and she said it to me once, and I said I was fine. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And then I was reading a book, and it was in it. And I was like, she must have read this book as well. It was, oh, God. Oh, I can't remember.
Well, you have a look. I'll finish my Disneyland
tales. You
tales.
Tell your Disney story and I'm going to find this.
Yeah, very expensive. I have bought you back a giftie from Paris, but that fat-fingered mouse bled me dry. It was I didn't get you something in Disneyland because it was ridiculously expensive. And Andrew and Vicky were there, and they were like, well, you know, our stuff discounts 10%, which is not nothing, but it's not a lot.
That mouse wants everything from you.
It really did. We went to the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Which one?
Plaza Gardens.
Fucking lovely.
Which is good quality stuff. They got these little potatoes in the shape of Mickey's head, and they are gorgeous.
Potato Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, they're really, really nice.
Holy shit.
It was so
How much a head?
45 euros. 45 euros.
It was $45 for a buffet at Crystal Palace, which is like the American version of Plaza Garden, like at the end of Main Street, USA.
You should say to Chloe Petz, oh, I'm taking you to Crystal Palace. And they'll be like, oh, I love Crystal Palace.
We're going to play some footy, Helen.
And then taking her to Disney World.
Just me. I just found what FINE stands for. So there's two examples of it. The first one is freak out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Freak out.
Freak out. And the second is feelings inside not expressed. So when you say, I'm fine, it's like, oh, your feelings inside aren't being expressed. How sad is that?
I don't think
this is the one my mum said. Frustrated, insecure, neurotic, emotional.
Neurotic is
yeah, that's so harsh.
Frustrated, emotional, and insecure for like... Fine. I'm sorry. That was like that, all right. Whatever. That's like a sort of a judgment on your personal feeling in that moment. But neurotic. That is a personality trait.
But the thing is, like, I'm neurotic around her. I am always neurotic. Like, I have not done a proper family holiday in years. But the last one I did was just my parents and me. And this is fucking hell. It must have been like 2014. Or something. I think I was living in Berlin, but like they were going on a summer holiday to Greece.
Right.
And they were training the whole way there. Like they trained from Fleet to Athens.
Oh my God.
Because my dad loves trains. My mum just reads. This is probably the final straw before they got divorced. And he just like looks out the window with his mouth open for like 20 hours, like so happy. And I went to go meet them in Athens. And then we went to like an island as well. And like literally we had like a lovely 24 hours. And then after that, if any of us even looked at each other, the world was over. Like we had nothing to say. Like I felt like I was being watched everything I ate because I'm a lot fatter than my parents. Like, holy shit, it was so stressful. The only time we got a good conversation going was we were walking back from dinner one night to this hotel we were staying in, and there was a dead lizard on the road that had been run over. And it was like, thank God, something to talk about. So we spent like 20 minutes, like the three of us just looking at it being like, oh, that's sad, isn't it? Yeah, very sad. What sort of car do you reckon? Might have been a truck. Yeah, no, it's fully squished. Do you reckon it had a family? Maybe they saw it happen. It was so awful. We should probably have on our guest, shouldn't we?
We should have on our guest.
We've really whittled away.
Yeah, well, and there's no dead lizards to give us something to talk about, so... Really, at the end of our conversation with Tether.
Well, I mean, we can talk about musicals, but I'm so scared that Catherine will hear about this and then
we'll talk about musicals in the extras, because I got to tell you about A Strange Loop.
Oh my God, yes. I went to see. I literally, as soon as you told me you saw it, I saw a bus with an advert for it go past me, and I was like, it's a sign that I have to book.
You do have to go.
So we just book tickets in the extras?
Yeah, we'll book some tickets in the extras. We'll tell you what date we're going.
I get my Maggie.
You book tickets as well. I'll give you your Maggie from Paris.
But for now, let's have on our amazing guest. Let's solve some problems. Let's chat life. It's Sarah Roberts! What's up, hogs? It's Helen Bauer here. Just to let you know, I am going on tour this year. It's starting in Edinburgh. I'll be there from the 14th to the 27th. And then I'm hitting up Europe. I'm hitting up Paris, Harlem, Copenhagen, the places you've been begging for me to go. And then all around the UK, apart from Wales. For some reason, I don't have a Welsh date yet. So please, if you're in Wales and you have a venue, just let me know and I'll just come there. We'll have a bit of fun. All the tickets are available on my website, and I'd love to see you there. And please bring Helen gifties. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Hello, Hogs. It's Catherine. I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'll be there from the 2nd to the 9th at Monkey Barrel at 12 o'clock. I'd love to see you. I am also recording, though, my own radio show in two parts, but it'll all be recorded in one go at the BBC tent. There will be tickets very soon available on the BBC website. Please keep an eye on that, because what I would desperately love is for people who actually like my comedy to be in the room. It's a big room, but the tickets will go fast because they're free on the 9th in Edinburgh, and I would genuinely love to have you there. So please, I'll put out the link when it comes up, but put the dates in your diary, and I'll see you at the Edinburgh Fringe. And after the Edinburgh Fringe, I'll be doing two nights of my work in progress at Soho Theatre. So if you're not coming to the Fringe, on the 22nd and 23rd, I'll be in London's Soho Theatre, and I'd love to see you there.
Welcome, Sarah Roberts!
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Doesn't it feel so exciting?
It does. I can't believe it.
Isn't it nice?
Got all of your merch.
Merch? These are gifties.
Yeah, people have hand crocheted a lot of these pigs for us.
Wow.
A lot of the pictures are.
Are they all from the same person?
No.
Because they've got a real distinct style.
Yeah, I think they've just got the vibe of the podcast.
I think they're all queer crocheters who maybe have a similar style to making.
This one's very queer. This one here, that's me. This one?
Yes.
This is Catherine. She's a little piggy with the shits. Catherine has the shits.
The hair is so good.
We have to call Catherine after this and just check in with her and just make sure the shits have not become something as like a severe dehydration case.
Oh yeah.
I messaged her saying, do you have any like rehydration sachets? If not, I can pop over afterwards. And she was like, no, I've got some. And I was like, you just don't want me there. You don't want me to see or smell what's happening in your flat right now. But it's going to be fucking insane. Because she doesn't have a window in her bathroom. We need to stop talking about this because she will kill us.
Does she know what gave her this?
She said she thinks she got food poisoning from a wedding. Now here's where I think she's lying, because food poisoning presents itself immediately, right?
Yeah.
Like it's so quick. Whereas if she got the shits this morning, her wedding was on Sunday. Today's Tuesday. Like this, she had a dirty kebab last night, and she's refusing to admit it.
Do you think?
Helen, I'm doubled over with pain and everything is bad. Without going into too much detail, I think I got food poisoning at the wedding I went to yesterday. Was the wedding on a Monday? I swear she
I
went to the wedding
Sunday,
on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was a 2-day thing.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Okay, maybe. But either way. Awful.
Without going into too much detail, and then you've just fully.
I run her immediately, and she had like a sweaty sheen to her.
Did she sound bad?
She did, but she's very good at doing the like, oh, poor Irish Catherine. Oh, I never get anything right. You know, she's good at that victimness.
Are you good at getting sympathy when you're ill?
No, well, I have a nurse mum, and she always would never ever let me like take a day off school. So I know, ever. She would be like, well, I treated someone whose eye fell out yesterday, so get over it. Well, she's a gynecologist, so not I, but I don't want to go into too much detail. But, like, no. So
I used to fake sick all the time.
Yeah, I just never got away with it.
What, even the school nurse?
No.
Are you fucking joking?
My mum would be like, is she being sick? Then I'm not picking her up.
Would you never just pretend you were sick?
Like, unless I was like, you know, ugh.
Yeah. Well, no, don't do that. Just go to the toilet and come out and say, I was sick.
Yeah.
I was so ill. I do it all the time. I managed to get Sunil Patel to give me a 5-minute cuddle this morning because I said I was feeling sad. Was I? I don't really know if I was. I think I just wanted attention. But it worked.
5 minutes?
Yeah, he brought me in a coffee and I went, I feel sad. And he went, you've got to get out of bed. And I went, And then I made him cuddle me.
Did it get to quite an awkward stage of cuddling?
That's 1 second in with you and Sunil.
1 second in, he disassociates and he just sort of like, he's hugging me and he's on his phone. So he's reading like, he's got like a Twitter crypto account where he just reads crypto.
Really?
Like,
he's a crypto bro.
How did you not know this? That's his entire thing.
I didn't know that.
He's got his own cryptocurrency, Sunil Bucks.
Sunil Bucks.
I'm sorry, I don't know what the hell that means.
You shouldn't know. It's fucking mad, okay? He's mad. But I managed to like bully him into doing things to take care of me. I do it with all my friends all the time. Like, I think it's like a pathological need to be taken care of. Even though if someone actually takes care of me, I think they're gross. But like, I will reach out for love and comfort.
I don't have that, but I do have a pathological need to rot. Like, I love to, like, just lie. Like, I don't want anyone looking after me. I just want to be alone.
Wait, when you say to rot,
yeah,
do you mean to just, you've like, got a need to lie down and die?
No, more like lie down and, like, watch stuff for, like, 2 days straight and eat loads of food.
Like, no one can see you.
But, like, I don't want anyone to contact me. But it's not, like, sad. Mm-hmm. It's, like...
That sounds like depression. It's not sad. No, it's depression.
I just need to rest.
Close all the curtains, no one can see you, and you lie vertical.
No, curtains open, occasional trips for snacks, but I just, like, want to, like, you know, pass a little bit of time without, like, just being perceived for a while.
I also feel like you're doing that right now because you refuse to talk into the microphone.
Okay, sorry.
And you're like, I just want to rot, and you just want to lie back.
Okay.
Have you ever looked at that... Remember that website, watchmerot.com? Did you ever hear about this?
No.
It was like, apparently, I've never seen it. Maybe it doesn't exist, but it was like a thing at school where it was like, you can go on watchmerot.com and it's like a dead body decomposing.
Oh.
That was like a thing.
Right, that doesn't sound...
Okay, it was a thing at my school, okay. watchmerot.com. It was like, because you know there's these places in America, and I'm not saying this is what you would do, but you can like leave your body to the criminal justice system. And they leave different bodies, like, in different areas, like, either submerged in water or in a tank or in a car.
For tests.
And they see what it looks like after certain weeks of decomposition, so people can identify how decomposed a body is or when they died, when they die. But, like, people work there. So it's probably so important at a decomposition field. And they walk around and, like, check to see each week and, like, write down the details.
That is the most bleak job I've ever
had. That's tough, right? How do you then go out and do the rest of your day?
That's... I can't process that. Also, I'm very distracted because you have a coaster there and you're using your own phone as a coaster. Have a little look at that on the YouTube feed. That was an amazing moment.
So, thank you for taking care of me.
You're welcome.
I feel so bad for you that you never just got to take random sick days at school. Even like,
but I do now a lot for my work.
But as a teenager, for periods and stuff, would your mum as a gynecologist not be like, "That's okay, your iron levels are low"?
No, my mum used to say, I think this is like body shaming.
Mm. Go for it, my mum too.
My mum used to say, like, "Well, you don't get period pains if you have stronger core muscles."
Oh my fucking god!
She'd be like, "You just need to work out more."
Oh my god!
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah,
that's like a mixture of gaslighting and body shaming all in one. That's
amazing. It's a real mix.
Yeah.
How are your core muscles now?
Bad.
Shit. Really? How's your period pain?
Bad.
Really bad. You need to fucking work out, okay? Because honestly, fuck.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know if there's any truth in that, but it can't be. Because it's not your, it's your womb. It's your womb contracting. Mm. It's nothing to do with your, like, external muscles.
I think it's made me gaslight myself, though, because sometimes I am like, they're not as bad. Maybe it's because I went to the gym once this month.
Holy shit. Are you a gym member?
I am, but...
Which gym?
Pure gym.
Only because I'm considering joining at the moment.
Well, my gym got flooded for 3 months, so
with
I had...
What? So
I don't know. I think... I don't know.
So probably,
well, they didn't really say. They just said it's flooded.
Helen, it was Catherine's shit.
Catherine's joined Pure Dream. Cat from the treadmill just leaking. Why is it wet? She's gonna hate this.
She's not gonna listen.
You're right, she won't listen. We never mentioned her poem.
No. We were going to spread a rumour about Catherine today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what should we do?
This is the thing. But it's so hard because she's so on top of gossip, she will hear it before like it goes that far.
Mm.
But like, what's a good rumour for Catherine? That's the thing.
I don't know. Because also, like, you don't want to say anything that, like, is libelous.
She's not Irish. It's an accent.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun one.
Like, that guy's wife, you know? The...
Oh, my God, Ilaria?
Yeah.
Yes!
That's
Alec Baldwin?
My favourite thing.
Oh,
have
no.
you seen this?
Do you not know
no,
this?
No, what is this?
Oh my wife. Fucking God, Andrew,
it's
you were
amazing.
In for...
Yeah.
Oh, right, do you want to go for it?
No, you start.
Okay, Alec Baldwin, actor, comedian, married to Ilaria Baldwin, an American woman who did live in Spain. Her family are Spanish, but she is American.
I don't actually know if they are.
This is the thing. There's a question.
I don't think they are. I think she went to Spain for, like, on a holiday.
This is where it gets really good. Now, there's like interviews of her and she's just American, just standard American accent. And then later on...
After she went to Spain. Yeah. Loved it. She loved it so much.
Her accent is so Spanish. And like native Spanish people have been like, she's not Spanish. Like this, but she's on like a cooking show on daytime TV, right? Mm. And she goes, what do you call her? What to call her? Cucumber? And then Alec has had to come out in defence several times and been like, leave my wife alone. She's Spanish.
I love that he's just accepted that about her.
You have to. And then there's an interview.
That makes me like him so much more.
There's an interview with Salma Hayek. And they're like, do you know Ilaria Baldwin? She's like, yes. And they're like, do you know that she's not Spanish? And she's like, oh, no, I know. We all know. That's mad. Nice. It is. It's like she... But somehow, like, her brain... Clearly, I think one of her parents is definitely Spanish. There's definitely Spanish there.
I don't know about
that. And maybe she grew up with, like, that accent being around her a lot. But her accent has changed and everyone's just, like, lost her. And then what's great is that she's so into building her social media platform that for her birthday each year, Alec does a post on his Instagram, because he's got a lot more followers, being like, for her birthday this year, we'd really love her to get to 1 million followers.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Oh, I would just love to be loved that much that you can be so cringe and literally pretend, fake
say
an
to
accent,
your famous partner.
Be essentially racist and beg for followers every birthday and they're like, you are perfect.
It's insane. Because the accent thing is so intense. I remember like back in the day on America's Next Top Model. Mm. Do you remember this show?
Oh, yeah. Do I? Yeah. It haunts me every night.
Why so do I still enjoy thinking about it? I mean, it's fucked.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, Andrew's little.
I'm only little.
How old are you?
I'm only four.
Four?
No, I'm 23.
What?
Yeah, I know, I've got a bad hairline.
I made a Friends reference earlier.
That's crazy.
No idea.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think that's generational. I think that's me being deliberately ignorant because a lot of people my age and younger have seen Friends. I've just avoided it.
Yeah, well, everyone hates it now, don't they? Which is fair.
Oh, shit. What the fuck? Where? No, I know that. No, but I was trying to, like... Do you remember... Doesn't Ross Geller have a line that him and Carol slept on the It's a Small World ride and then they got banned from it?
I thought they slept in the planetarium.
That was Rachel.
Oh.
With Carol, his ex-wife.
I didn't know. He loves a public shag, doesn't
Everyone
he?
Everyone loves a public shag.
Have you ever had a public shag?
I have had a public shag. Well, I don't know if it counts as public, if it's like not... Like, it wasn't like in a like museum or anything. Like, it was like, you know, outside. Like, by a lake.
Wait, quite nice.
Public
when
shag.
When you said
that
museum...
That is so nice, by a lake, but also... Yeah. If you were to go for a museum, let's go back to the lake in a minute, which museum would you fuck in?
Oh, that's a great
Andrew
question.
Go first.
When you said that, I thought you meant like, it wasn't display worthy. Like as if the shagging would be
you
a
got in with
set display.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually after my prom at uni.
Stop.
It wasn't. It wasn't nice. We'd all just been swimming in the lake.
Gross.
Mm. Yeah, mm. And everyone was like nearby.
Yeah, and you would like yeah. Cunt. Yeah, when it's all sort of like, and it's like was, just bacteria.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Actually, I think I got quite unwell after that.
What lake?
Okay, at my uni we had this thing.
Here we go.
Well, it was like the five L's, and you had to have sex at all five places, beginning with
the
L on
fuck
campus.
Up.
What?
Okay, this is actually a thing.
So laundrette, library, lake, LCR, which was like our club, and...
Oh my laundrette, God, library, LCR, lake...
Lecture theatre.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, in, like, the last week of the year, everyone would be, like, shagging everywhere trying to get the five L's done.
That's fucking mental.
That is mental, mad.
Where in the library...
They have like little rooms.
Okay, that makes better. Yeah, that you could lock.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could hear people having sex.
What uni is this? Norwich Uni?
UEA, yeah.
Fucking hell, University of East Anglia.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, everyone. Yeah. I know someone that went there.
Do you?
Sick. Yeah. No.
And me.
And you.
Yeah.
Two now.
I know.
And I swear, like, Joss Norris, John Kearns, Pat Cahill, they all went there as well.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
little UEA knowledge. I wonder if they
do. You reckon? Yeah. I can't imagine any of them doing the five L's.
I didn't manage to do the five L's.
How many L's did you do?
I think I did like I think I did maybe two L's.
Lake, obviously.
Lake and LCR, the club. LCR. I mean, easy.
In the toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've tried a toilet shag before, but it was so tricky in the club because like there wasn't enough space to get in a good position because it wasn't like an accessible stall. It was like just a regular stall.
Right.
Like, I think you have to pick the toilet club that you go to because it's like, it was the wrong one for me. Instead, I just got fingered on the bar stool.
Legend.
Shout out to Tel Aviv. Bar trip. Fucking sick.
In Tel Aviv.
Wow. You've lived a life, Helen. It really is amazing.
I've travelled. Do that
That's
next day, Bethlehem.
That's what happens when you enter your 30s. You've got,
you've got a lot of
stories. I've never fucked in a museum, though.
No, I don't know which one I'd pick. I've been thinking about it since you asked, and I can't... I'm thinking of the... What's the Irish museum you went to with all the terrible waxwork?
National Wax Museum of Ireland.
I think that's the one I'd go for, yeah.
Holy shit.
What, is it like a poor so man's good. Madame Tussauds?
Oh, my... It's so far from a poor... This man is broke, man. He's not even poor. Like, it is insanely good. Like, but just another shout-out for this museum. I know I did it last year. If you are in Dublin or if you're going to the Paddy Power Comedy Festival, definitely go to the National Wax Museum of Ireland. There's no curation. You can meet James Joyce and Jedward in the same room. Enjoy yourselves.
Jedward?
In the same room.
So it's just
room.
Irish people in there?
Oh. Tina Turner is also there next to Oscar Wilde. It's fucking mad. No one has thought
There's
about
no it. There's no rhyme or reason at all.
Apart from the religious room, which is two characters from Father Ted and the Pope. That's it.
And that's the one I'm shagging in.
That's your room. That's really sweet. There's actually a little chair in there as well.
Oh, that's convenient.
I'd probably go historical shag.
Yeah.
Like living museum sort of a thing. Where like people could sort of like we could be in character. Like I could be like a Victorian madam.
Yeah,
that would
be really fun.
Milestones in Basingstoke.
I love that you have been presented with a sexual, exciting opportunity and you're like, how can I make this into Amdram?
Everything should be Amdram.
LARPing.
LARPing.
Live action role play, but shag.
I think that's what I would want to do something. I don't want to go to like a history museum. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to go to the Imperial. Tell you what would be fun, the Kobe earthquake simulator at the Science or Natural
that
History Museum.
That would be really fun.
Human body would be like on a shaking bed. Yeah, but
it only lasts for like 20 seconds, so it would have
that's
to be
all
so
I need.
The most guys with me. With these fun bags. Come on.
Fun bags.
I could see you. Let me guess which...
Me?
Yeah, maybe aquarium.
Nah. Aquarium is not a museum.
It's a museum of fish. Idiot.
Aquariums, that's nice though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do it like, okay, actually. Like, you know, romantic shag or like...
Fun.
Yeah, lol shag.
Like High Wycombe Chair Museum.
Yeah, or like... I don't know. Well, now I want to also be in, like, a knight's costume, maybe, like, Warwick Castle or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Have you been
fun.
To Warwick Castle? It's such a good castle.
I've not. I've been to Leeds Castle.
That one and Hampton Court Palace. Proper,
Hampton
like, kitchens.
Court. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And you can Very do special nice. Nights there where you dress up.
The maze, that would be the maze in Hampton Court Palace. That's where I would have said.
I got fucked
that's
over
good,
by
But that
choice.
Isn't a museum, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's more of a museum than an aquarium, to be fair.
What
so,
is an aquarium then?
It's more of a zoo, thank you, yeah.
Well, what's a zoo then?
A collection of animals.
Yeah, but...
But they're...
What? It's in the museum family.
I guess.
The museum family is anything that you do on like a day out that you like go in for entrance.
I don't know, because then say that a fun fair is museum family.
No, it's not.
Is the Shrek experience a museum?
According to
a Shrek
your...
experience is a museum, yeah. That's a walkthrough museum. That's a living museum. That's what that is. That is like the Black Country Museum, the Shrek experience, because you're walking through Shrek's world.
I've been to the Shrek experience.
Isn't it fucking life-changing?
It is really good. I met my ex-boyfriend's parents for the first time at the Shrek Museum. And I was really late.
Shrek Museum.
What is it called? Shrek's Adventure.
Shrek Museum. Shrek Museum.
It was so hard to like be into it enough, but not too into it, that it was really weird.
It's so hard to be into it just in general, I'll say. I went with Catherine.
You didn't love it?
I loved it, but I just felt like I was being attacked the entire time, so I couldn't imagine being there with someone that wasn't Catherine, because, like, did they pick any adults to participate in the tasks?
I can't remember. I was very much sweating.
You were panicked.
I was really panicked. So it was sort of a bit of a blackout.
Did you do a photo shoot with Shrek at the end?
Yeah.
So good, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But I don't think a photo shoot should ever be the best thing about a day out experience.
No,
like
true,
the picture
yeah.
at the end shouldn't. That I don't think that says a lot about how
good... But it wasn't the
good...
best part of it. It was
oh,
the...
You, oh, just because you picked it out.
Okay, well, it was the... fine, spoiler alert. The night bus ride. I liked the room when you had to do the quiz and Pinocchio was being tortured. I enjoyed that a lot. I liked the bar tavern.
I've not been.
With the... Yeah, no, Andrew can't come.
Why?
Because he doesn't like museums.
I just wasn't invited.
Oh my god, guys, that's true, I think.
It is true, yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, you know what happened? Was it your birthday?
I lost my birthday drink.
Catherine and Helen went to Shrek Experience and I waited in a Nando's until they were done and then they came and met me for food.
What?
We did! I didn't know we were doing this. Catherine
was it because it was
me...
expensive?
To the Shrek Experience.
I mean, at least that's some kind of an excuse.
Yeah, no, I respect it. I mean,
do you think you would ruin the experience?
No, I'm fucking organising it. Oh, shitty McGee. She planned it. And then my surprise was that you would be
Nando's. I was waiting, yeah.
And then what should we do after that?
I remember because it was the Trusty Hogs gig and I did it and you guys arrived and you were
it was Deakless Life.
You had
this
all of
it.
Your you had like three big long drinks.
Oh, this was beautiful. We come
two
full circle.
Big, long drinks.
Yeah, you had
poor
and you were pouring,
yeah. I wasn't invited.
And you were pouring Prosecco into them and they still had slushy in them. It was wild.
Well, I'd like to level the playing field. Having been reminded that I wasn't invited by Catherine, I just want to look down the camera.
Do it.
Catherine Bohart, at this moment in time, Catherine Mary Joseph Bohart has the shits. Let us not forget.
She's frothing.
Oh, God.
No, it's good. It's body positivity that women like that get the shits. That's really important. Should we solve a problem? How long have we talked? Catherine usually does this.
Oh, yeah. Brings on the problem. Oh, so which museum do you want to fucking... Sorry, we'll just end that and then... you said Hampton Court Palace.
I think so,
yeah. Sorry.
If that counts.
I think you can have it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, yeah. I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Not aquarium, though.
I've done Berlin Wall.
What?
Here by the Oxo Tower.
Have you actually?
Places I've had sex outside.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know this.
Berlin Wall wasn't penetrative sex, so I don't think. I think it was just like...
It was fingering.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No, like math stuff.
It was snobby.
Okay. Thank you for the demonstration.
I think that's bolder to do in public than sex.
Yeah, I think that is you're more because the position is
weirder.
Much more compromising than just because when you're just like, you know, next
you
to
could
each other.
Be doing
it was
anything.
Very early hours. It wasn't like all the tourists were there taking pictures, but it was. I swear, I told this story on like a TV show. There's a recording of this somewhere. Of me
Oxo
trying to
explain.
No, the pier that juts out by the Oxo Tower. I had sex at the end of that. But also, again, very early hours. Very early hours.
Okay.
So, like, fun, you know. And then also, there used to be... Well, there still is. It's like a circle garden right by where This Morning used to film. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Am I right, guys? Hey, cheers. Cheers. You know, fuck them. They all knew. Anyway, we can say that, right?
Yeah.
Allegedly, they all knew. Allegedly, they all knew. He's a fucking nonce. Oh.
We've got so many international listeners that are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Google This Morning and Philip Schofield.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
There's like a little circle garden and it used to have loads of hedges around it and then we also had sex in there. But it's like since then, all the hedges have gone. So if anyone saw it now, they'd be like, she fucked in that? That's messed up. But it used to be a lot more secluded because I also once shit myself in that garden. You know, where I sat on the bench by accident and I shit through
the bench. Beautiful.
What? Yeah. What, like through
listen
the bits?
To the patron extras.
Okay, sorry. That's crazy. So was it the same person? Sorry, to go back to
same
the
person, show. Same night. Berlin Wall, different man. Okay. Different man. Berlin Wall was just like a random guy for one night. The Oxo and the Garden.
You were like, did you go out? Were you planning to?
No, I was a party tour guide in Berlin. So I'd take people out and show them the clubs, right? And you weren't supposed to sleep with them or kiss them.
Right.
But I knew I was definitely not going to.
Naughty.
Because I didn't want to work for the company.
Sounds like someone broke the rules.
I got fired. I did get fired.
For shagging?
Yeah.
For shagging?
Just because, like, I also just, like, didn't want to do it.
Yes, to be honest. I think, like, that is pretty far to be, like, no offence, not at all to such shame. But to, like, cunnilingus at the Berlin Wall with a customer...
Sorry, the Berlin Wall separated people. We were unifying. Like, if anything, that's what they wanted. Also, how about this? I've got German heritage. He was Israeli. Isn't that fucking beautiful when you think about it?
That is...
The coming together of Germans and the Jewish people together. That's gorgeous. Like, emotional. I remember being like, I must have been like 24.
I'm half Jewish, so this is also...
Shut the fuck up! Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I always have to say it. Sorry.
That's okay.
Really?
What?
It's toot me a lied. I didn't know you were half Jewish.
Yeah.
Which side? Mummy side?
Dad's. I had to, what's it called? When you...
Bat mitzvah?
No, well, to do that, I had to...
Convert into it.
Yeah,
convert,
right,
that's
the word, yeah.
Did you bat mitzvah, though?
Yeah, I did bat mitzvah.
Sick. I've only been to one, only, like, one girl at my school was Jewish, and her bat mitzvah was fucking fire. It was so much fun.
Mm. Chocolate fountain.
Stop!
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear about your bat mitzvah now. Talk us through it.
Oh, I can't really remember. I remember that I had to, like, learn...
Hebrew,
yeah. I used to have to teach at the synagogue...
No way.
Yeah, at like Haida. Sunday is the synagogue teaching day.
Okay. Right.
But I was like a really bad teacher. I'm really not very good with children. Like there was this really like naughty child and I felt traumatised by what I said to him and his reaction. Because he was like really naughty and I was like, this is why you don't have any friends. I said that to him when I was like 14 and then he burst into tears.
Yeah, obviously he would burst into tears.
And then... I just stopped teaching. I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm too much of a bitch.
How old was the kid that you said that to?
Really quite young.
Little.
But he was quite horrible.
Oh,
quite
no.
Horrible child. But, you know, also, I don't think you should have 14-year-olds who don't know Hebrew teaching Hebrew.
That's all 14-year-olds do is teach. Like, all of that babysitting. Like, 14-year-olds should be
babysitting.
Doing nothing. But we're all babysitting and stuff. It's mad.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of trust that you're putting into a 14-year-old.
Mm.
Who is the
trust.
Most meanest, horriblest age.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't learned shame yet. Mm-hmm. They...
This is in my new show.
Nasty.
Shout out to Come See Me on Tour. But, like, the fact that when I was 18 and I was applying for a job at a shop, I had to do, like, a trial shift, a CV, like, cover letter, all of that. But then at 14, with no experience, nothing, people would give me the keys to their house and their babies. Like, that's mental.
Mental.
Particularly because that age, like, I was, like, a sociopath. Because, like, all I was doing was going home from school... And, like, building civilizations on the computer.
Yeah.
I'd commit a war crime by, like, 8 p.m. most days. Like, it was bad.
Yeah, I was, like, a full troll on the internet.
No,
like,
you
all
weren't.
All on MSN, yeah.
What, Neopets?
Habbo Hotel.
Oh, I remember Habbo Hotel.
I was trolling on Habbo Hotel. Yeah.
You were actually a troll?
Well, I was, like... I was, like... I feel like this might be a problem. I was, like, forcing people to... Not forcing, but I was, like, you know, instigating cyber sex.
No!
On Habbo Hotel?
On Habbo Hotel.
As a 14-year-old?
As a 14-year-old.
Holy shit!
I was a horny little monster.
And you couldn't wank it out?
Well, I was also doing that too.
Oh shit, yeah, you were that level wanker. Of sex drive.
Yeah, I think I was actually quite a psychopath when I was a teenager because I also remember at synagogue once, me and my friend Becca, we set a light, we were like, found a lighter.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was probably us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking crazy.
Also, I wasn't cool. Like, I think the problem was that, like, I hadn't ever met boys before. Mm. So I was just like, you know, I constantly wanted stuff to happen.
Wait, did you go to an all-girls school?
Went to an all-girls school.
Synagogue, obviously, there were boys there.
Yeah, synagogue. Oh, it was so hot. But me and my friend Becca, we set on fire some tissue and it went up in flames. Ooh. And it was during Saturday service. So, like, there was loads of people, like, fuck, praying. Oh. And they had to... The fire alarm went off and they had to, like, get everyone out.
Wow. And did that turn you on?
I think so. Well, no, actually, I freaked out because I was so scared about what my parents were going to do. So I blamed it on Becca and she just took it.
Fair dues, Becca.
Shout out to Becca. If you're listening, we hope you're doing well. We hope that that didn't set a light
How
in
bad?
You a need for arson. Yeah, it's fucked up, but I also, like, I kind of, like... I've got sympathy as well for the 14-year-old you who's like...
Had to go to synagogue on Saturday and Sunday.
You've got all the hormones charging through your body. You're trying to figure stuff out. You're not around guys most of the week. Like, you find a lighter, you want to burn something. Like, I've got a lot of love for the little you who's just trying to figure it out.
Thank you.
I could call you a psychopath, but I think it's a tricky fucking age.
Also,
like, you know, we discussed this before we started recording, but you were a Jacqueline Wilson reader. Do you know what I mean? Like, you were... mentally traumatizing yourself for fun, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it was right there in our faces, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, we all wanted to be Dustbin Baby.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, it was very much like the cool people in every book or TV show were, like...
Fucked up.
So fucked up, like, getting, like, shot in the face, and then, you know, everyone was in love with them.
The coolest thing you can do is get a shot in the face.
Oh, if only.
If only I could get a shot in the face. That would fucking suit me so much. With cum, obviously. Go to school, like, oh no, did I have sex? I went to a mixed school, they would have fucking loved it. Okay?
Did you? That's so lucky.
I think it is, though. I really think it is. Because it's like, there was never any, like, suddenly, like, boys are forbidden or they're being
introduced. I still feel like boys are forbidden.
See, I went to an all-boys school and I have the opposite, but then I am a gay man. Yeah, in many ways I kind of benefited from that system.
Not keeping the girls away. But then again, a gay boy at a mixed school, like, the gay boys at my school did so well with the girls. Because we were all just, like, rallied around them, saying the best parts. We all fancied them, we weren't aware.
I the girls liked me, but only, like, post-15 after I came out. Because beforehand, I really thought I wanted a girlfriend. And, I would ask girls out.
Yeah.
Every Friday, the girls' school and the boys' school would meet at Lizzie Gardens. And, actually, let me get some messages for you.
Oh my God.
This is a time capsule to 13-year-old Andrew.
Go get it. Remember, when we're reading these out, when this is 13-year-old Andrew, this is only 10 years ago. This is not
that
as long
crazy.
Ago for anyone else. Right? When I started doing stand-up, Andrew was finishing school.
Oh, my God.
How mental is that? That really freaks me out.
So, there's a backstory to these messages.
Okay.
So, we all went to Lizzie Gardens. I thought I fancied this girl called Tilly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going out with a guy called Ben, but then they broke up. And we were all at Lizzie Gardens, and Ben said to me, I know you fancy Tilly. I'll give you permission to ask her out.
Permission?
Wow.
And I'm like, fantastic. I've actually already written a song.
Oh!
Oh my God.
But just to check, you knew you were gay, but you wanted a girlfriend. You hadn't accepted.
I knew I liked boys, but I thought I also liked girls. And to this day, I suppose, I'm not like 100% only attracted to men, enough to be like, let's not faff, you know.
Okay.
I think the best way I describe it is like if there was a beach of 100 sexy women and one like average looking man, I'm
probably
the man.
With the man. I'm with you. It depends on how sexy the women though. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah.
Like if Angela Lawson is there like bouncing up and down, like you're not gonna like.
And I do sometimes get tripped up by boyish lesbians, but I think that's a visual like, oh sorry, my bad.
I understand that.
That makes sense. It's really
confusing. I actually get tripped up by the exact same thing. Yeah. It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I don't even know where I'm at.
You're just fit, just general fit. Like I would just fall for you either way.
Wow, that's
I'm straight, but like this is insane.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thanks.
No, that's not what I'm
saying. Helen, consent.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's
go. So I wrote a song. I sang the song to Tilly. The last line of the song is, will you go out with me? The rest of it was just like, oh, you're great, whatever, you're cool. And then I was like, will you go out with me? But I didn't sing the last line. And then she went, oh, it's a really good song. Come sing it for my friends. So then she, kept walking me around the gardens to different groups of people and making me sing the song again.
Oh, my darling boy.
So I sang it, like, 4 or 5 times. And then that night, I was like, oh, I messed up my chance. Ben gave me permission. I messed up my chance. I made a Facebook account. I wasn't allowed Facebook because I was only just 13.
Andrew.
So I made a Facebook account to message Tilly. I'll read you the messages. It's 9th of June.
Did you sing to her friends?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I sang.
You went around the whole park and sang.
I sang it like
everyone.
4 or 5 times, but without the last line. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so go on.
2013, 9th
but that
June.
Went okay. The singing.
Went all right. Yeah, she found it quite cute. The singing.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like you were bullied.
I think I was similar to you. I think I didn't realise.
Yeah, you didn't realise it, but can you hear now?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was okay.
Tilly, it's Andrew. I've made a temporary account because I'm an idiot. I should have told you the last line of the song, but I chickened out.
Oh my God.
I don't know why, because you're beautiful, kind, smart, and everything else. Heart emoji. I'm sure you can guess it, and it was probably obviously I wanted to. ... Will you go out with me? ... Kiss, kiss, kiss. Then I clearly tried to say hey the next day. 10th of June, 10 a.m.
She read it and she didn't reply.
She didn't reply. And I said hey, but I actually mistyped it as hug. HGG, but they didn't have unsend back then.
I think that's quite cool, actually. Like, oh, I don't care. I'm just like randomly sending this. And
thank you.
You can argue I don't care. I'm just singing a song and sending that long message and creating an account.
So
like, there's no playing
creating
it cool
an account
now.
Changes everything. Yeah.
And so at 10 a.m. I say hug, and then clearly I learn some news over the school day because at 5 p.m. I then message her again. Actually, don't worry. You're going out with Ben now. Cry emoji. She got back with Ben, who gave me permission to ask her out. Yeah.
Oh, no. My God. Laughing, crying.
No. Just a sincere crying emoji. Yeah.
Oh, no. Really sincere. What does she say?
Hey, look, I'm sorry.
Oh, she did respond eventually. Okay, good.
Just 10 days later, sorry.
10 days. But so you'd seen her at school for 10 days?
No, because she's at the girls' school.
Girls' school.
Yeah, so I didn't see her.
But you'd seen Ben?
I'd seen Ben, yeah.
And Ben didn't mention anything.
No, Ben didn't. Ben was one of the cool kids.
Finding this whole thing incredibly upsetting.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm sorry, but I'm happy with Ben, but I would love to be friends with you, and I'm sorry for not replying. I saw it, then had to go for tea, then forgot to reply. See you in town tomorrow. Okay, thanks for replying. Yeah, still friends.
Oh, well, that's in my books on really good terms.
Thank you.
Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, how humiliating.
I'd rather Sarah's narrative, thank
and
you.
And to
appreciate
read
that.
Out loud again. Oh, Andrew.
I think that's actually really mature.
Thank you.
And also, like, amazingly brave to put yourself out there. Mm. Like, the amount of people who never do it, never go like,
yeah,
I fancy you, be my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's a hard thing to do, or be my girlfriend, or whatever. Like, it's so tricky.
Yeah.
But I think amazing that you were able to do it at that age.
Thank you. And I will say, I just remember the song I sang was actually like to the tune of a very niche musical theatre song, just to sort of add
Which
to
one?
The... I can't remember what it was now.
It's going
to
be like Sunset Boulevard or something like way too intense.
No, it was like that.
Like Guys and Dolls?
No, it was even like, it was more like Sunset Boulevard, like really sort of B-side musical. And the reason I did it was because I was like, oh, no,
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. There you go. As I thought, if I sang a song from that and changed the lyrics, no one will know that.
No one knows the
song. So they could think I just wrote it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
I never had a boy write a song for me, so I think that's very romantic.
You'd fall in love with loads of gay boys.
I would. If someone wrote a song for me, I'd literally, like, I'd just come everywhere. Like, it'd have been a nightmare at school. Like, it just didn't, yeah.
I asked my friends to write a song for me for my birthday once.
How
was it good?
Yeah, no, it wasn't good, but they did it, which was
nice.
All
right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How old were you?
Probably like 18.
That's fine. Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think it was a thing for 18th birthdays. Like, my friends, like, my friend Tori made, like, a video.
Yeah.
A video?
What age would have been wrong, just out of interest?
Oh, like last year.
Oh.
Me and my friends get together and write a song. Actually, for a lot of my school friends' 30ths, we did like silly things. Like for Emma Black's birthday, we recreated Elephant Love Medley from Moulin Rouge.
Oh, right.
And like playing all the parts and spliced it all together. And it was so random. Like the other day Sunil was watching Seinfeld and it was the episode called The Red Dot. And I was like, God, I know this episode so well. Why do I know this episode so well? And it's because for my friend Lewis's 30th during lockdown, everyone got a couple of scenes each from that episode and filmed themselves doing it and like made, this is his favourite episode of his favourite TV show and recreated
See,
it.
See, I think those are the best presents.
That's a lovely gift.
Nice. I got, you know, the Kardashians, Kris Jenner, when she's like, I love my friends. Oh. Where did that come from?
I watched the Kardashians. I don't know this.
The song where, you know, that she made like a, on her 30th birthday, she made like a thing for her friends. And then the Kardashians recreated it.
Oh my God, yeah, when Kylie doesn't want to be in the car and it's a massive fight. Yes, she's having problems with tea.
So my friends made me that, which was really cool.
That's nice.
That was really good.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah. Oh my God, let's write each other songs.
Yeah.
Do you want to come back on in like, no, let's give each other a couple of months. Okay. Yeah. Come back on in like October.
What about Catherine?
We'll do a chorus that will address Catherine's shit. Each of us, because by that point she'll forgotten about it, and then we'll bring it back up.
Yeah.
Helen's got fantastic tits. Catherine Bohart's got the shit.
Yes.
There you go.
Actually, that's a really nice beat. And also Catherine doesn't know many musicals, so we can totally use musical theatre as the backdrop for it. Mm-hmm. I'm only saying Guys and Dolls because I did watch it for the first time last week.
Did you go to the British Theatre?
No, I saw the film.
Oh, very nice.
I'd never seen it live. I knew the songs, but I'd never watched it. So good.
It's fantastic.
Holy shit. And also the cast. It's Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra.
Wow. Why is it so underrated?
Insane is it underrated?
I mean, I've never seen it. And I can only see things from my perspective. So,
are you a fan of musical theatre? Do you go to?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I guess like in an average way. Like, I like it.
Define average way.
Well, like, you enjoy it if you see it.
I'm not like, whoa, she... Like, I wouldn't say one of my things is I'm obsessed with musical theatre, but, like, I like it.
Andrew, let's do a problem. She's pissed me off. Sorry.
I think that's a very reasonable standpoint.
Yeah.
It's better than Catherine's, which is...
She hates it.
Yeah, she hates it.
I mean, that's weird.
Despite the fact she's going all the time now, she's with Ellen. She's like, oh, I saw this musical. And I said, oh, get the fuck over yourself. Either you like it or you don't. Do you know what I mean?
But I do like it.
Yeah, you think you do, but, like... The fact you don't know what Sunset Boulevard is makes me really question that.
Okay, fair enough.
That is quite a niche one, and it is quite a...
maybe it is niche.
It's a shit musical as well. It's not got a single big, good song in it.
As if we never said goodbye?
It's fine, I guess.
You are such a fucking asshole! What's your favourite musical?
Oh, no.
See, there we go. Let's do a problem. It's getting nasty.
This is a problem from O.
Hi-O!
Hi-O.
O says...
Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Hi-O.
Hi-O.
Like, hi-O.
That is good. Hi, Helen, Catherine, not here, she's got the shits, and Andrew, and of course our lovely guest, Sarah.
Yay.
I hope you're all doing well. Please just refer to me as O for this question.
Done.
He, him pronouns. Fantastic. Before I start, I just want to say thanks for keeping me company these past couple of months when I've been struggling with my mental health.
No, do not listen to this. You're struggling with your mental health for the millionth time. Get the car map or something. This is going to make you so anxious. But good luck with the rest of your journey, yo.
I recently joined the...
Oh, my God.
It's such, honestly, like, but I get it, because when I'm struggling mentally, I listen to the Real Dictators podcast. So, like...
You think we're the same vibe as the Real Dictators podcast?
Yes!
Okay. I recently joined the Patreon and I'm making my way through the bonus content.
Good luck.
Thank you, O. I recently found out my ex-partner, they, them, has gotten into a new relationship through lurking on their Facebook page. Brackets, I know I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, but you're struggling mentally. You're obviously going to go do some Facebook stalking of the exes.
Mm-hmm. I won't go
You've
into
got
the...
to do that.
Yeah, I think it's like mandatory for any break. Oh, not that I've
it's
ever
crazy,
had
but
a relationship.
Don't do that.
But yeah.
You've never had a breakup, is what you mean to say. You're in a relationship right now.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am.
Oh, smug.
I won't go into the... If it makes you feel any better, Catherine Bohart has the shits. I won't go into the details of our breakup, but let's just say it was very messy. Like,
sorry.
And they weren't very nice to me and my family, including my recently. Sorry, I can't read this line laughing.
Sorry.
We need to message her at some point again. Yeah. Just check in. Now I've got images of her passing out on the toilet. So lacking of fluids.
Anyway, very, very messy breakup. They weren't very nice. There were some sensitive family issues that they weren't nice about.
That's not nice.
So, yeah, very sort of toxic ex. And this person is saying, oh, part of me wants to reach out to their new partner and warn them of all the traumatising shit that happened, as I would hate anyone else to go through something similar. I have OCD and will sometimes take on unnecessary responsibility for things that are definitely out of my control, and I feel like I should protect this person even though I've never met them. I know this is most likely a bad idea, as I may have to speak to my ex again in the long run, but I'd rather risk that than put someone else through the pain and trauma again. What are your thoughts? Should I move on with my own life, or do I take action and prevent pain my ex will inevitably cause? Thanks for reading, and keep up the amazing work. Oh.
You've got to move on with your own life!
Can I do a puff of vape for that?
Yeah, obviously have a puff of vape. Have to move on. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I totally get the research. I think you can talk this through with friends as many times as you want. But your ex, they've moved on. They haven't told you about this relationship. You don't know about it. Yeah, they were an absolute fuckwad to you. However, if they are doing these awful behaviours to this new partner, that new partner might find you at some point, they might break up, and you can then reach out and validate their feelings and be like, yeah, they are toxic as fuck, they're awful. But right now, even if you went to that person who's in the relationship, sounds like they're in a new relationship, they're not going to hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you go to someone who's happily in a new relationship and go, they're toxic as fuck, then all that happens is your toxic ex goes, my ex is mental! Like, it doesn't help.
Yeah, oh, it's hard. Because I do think that if someone's been really awful that and you're worried about them treating someone else that way, then, like, the Jonah Hill stuff. Like,
oh,
and
yeah.
Just put that stuff out.
Have you not seen this?
No.
His ex posted a lot of, like, his texts that he sent her using lots of therapy speak and being very controlling and like
she's a surfer, like her job is a surfer.
Oh, fucking rock star.
And he, yeah. I know, and he, like when they started like being together, he basically said that his boundaries were that she had to like stop surfing. He didn't want her like surfing with men, posting pictures in a swimsuit. Like she was like a surf model, and he was like, you're not allowed to do any of that. Yeah, and he was like, these are my boundaries, this is what my therapist says I need to do, and it's, like, just mental. But, like, she...
Well, then he needs to not go out with a surfer. Are
I know.
You fucking kidding me?
I know, it's crazy. But she, like, that kind of thing, I don't know, it's so hard, because it's, like, I just think that you need to heal first and then decide whether it's, like, whether you should speak to the new partner once you feel like you're... definitely in a much better place.
Yes.
Like this, like I don't think it's like a black and white thing that you shouldn't do that. I think if someone's like been really awful and they've traumatized you want to protect another person.
Yeah.
But I think if you have been having like a couple of months of bad mental health, then maybe now isn't the time.
Yeah. That's
oh,
very sensible.
You're a lovely person for wanting to protect this person you've never met before from this evil presence. But it's not your job to do, and particularly not right now.
Yeah. I also don't think, I agree with you, I don't think you're in a position to do it just because they're not going to be receptive to it. If it's a new relationship, they're probably in a honeymoon phase, and if anything, it might make things worse because then they'll just like... Yeah, because I'm a very spite-driven person.
Yeah.
One of my best sort of writing techniques is for my boyfriend to say something isn't funny, and then I will work incredibly hard to make that bit funny.
To prove that it is.
And then,
you are so petty. I love you so much.
I'll record a gig where it happens, and I'll skip a little bit. And I went, there you go.
Oh,
see?
You're so fun.
I'm a real barrel of laughs. But in that same respect, I feel like if I was in a new relationship and somebody's ex messaged me and was like, he's really toxic, I think my response might be like, well, no, he's not. And actually, even when he started to be toxic, I'd probably be like, well, I've proved that guy wrong because he was a dick and he messaged me.
Yeah.
You kind of cling on even longer because you just want to like prove somebody wrong.
I think you can be available if that happened. I mean, the other option is, obviously, like we learned from Andrew, like create a profile that you can stalk on, befriend the new partner, and try and like while in that way.
That is crazy advice.
No, I think it's quite good.
I think fair enough. I think...
Because they're an ex of yours, so you know what their type is. So find pictures of people as that type, pretend to be them, spend half your day living as that person online. And because people do it all the time. Do you remember that documentary on Channel 4?
So you're basically... You're saying catfish and...
But catfish, like, so get not to get in a sexual relationship, but to get... to befriend the ex's new partner and, like, give them information in a backhanded way about, like, toxic people to make them start questioning their relationship.
What?
That so, like, they're bad. In a
toxic relationship and then also...
That's, like, restraining order.
Or a documentary. It could be either.
Okay, so if you want to get, like, a documentary...
Where's the documentary where the girl pretends to be three different boys? Hello? Hello. Hi.
Wait, but what?
Right.
You think that's...
Because O wants to reach out to the new partner and warn them, but O can't do that. So be someone else.
Okay,
BP. BP.
I think you have to deal with this.
So we were really exchanging looks while you were sort of setting that all up.
I'm thinking out loud.
I wish 94 episodes in I knew how to deal with this, but I don't. Maybe I would counter, rather than be a different person, maybe message a different person, maybe reach out. If you really feel like you need to do something and message someone and, like, it'll get it off your mind, because I do appreciate with, like, compulsions, it is the sort of thing, sometimes it is, you can't just forget about it and you do have to do something. So if you really feel like you do need to do an action, maybe the best thing to do is to message the friends of the new partner and just be like, hey, I know it's not really my place and this might be a bit weird, but I just wanted you to give you a heads up as you're their friend.
That's
just to keep
advice.
An eye out for this.
It may just be
the relationship they had with me, and not that to make it valid, it's a very valid experience that you've had that and felt like that. But maybe...
Yeah, so fine. Reach out to the friend, but why do it as O when you could be someone else?
I suppose, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, create another... just for you, to be honest.
I think if you're going to create another account to an anonymous account, mm-hmm. Don't make that new person.
Create an account as me. Do that and then warn people.
Or just email us a link to their profile and Helen will do it.
I will contact them. I'd be more than happy to.
Wait, so who are you contacting?
The new partner.
Right.
Not. I don't want anything to do with their ex. Like his ex even. I don't want anything to do with them. Mm. But I want the new partner to be aware of what they're getting into. But I don't want O to do the emotional labour of
okay.
that. Because O, it sounds like you're struggling and you've been struggling. I think this is just going to add stuff to it. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Not K. Oh, okay.
Very good.
Look, but the first thing was just to leave it. The second is create a different person. And third is just to talk to the friends if you need to.
Yeah.
Those are three equally good solutions.
And the fourth is use Helen as a vessel.
Mm. I think that is a good option as well. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm chatty.
Should we extend this out to anybody? If you have an ex in a new relationship and you'd like to warn their new partner, send us in all the details. Helen Bauer will do that as a service to £10 plus patrons exclusively. Thank you.
Oh, is it for... Okay, thank you for being a patron and congratulations, you have accessed this level. Could you imagine if I actually started doing that?
Yeah, that would be mad. We can't actually promise that.
I want to do in-person visits, I reckon.
Oh, my God,
really?
Like postcode lottery, yeah, but yeah. It's you.
Hey, just
and you're
let
like,
you know.
I heard you're pretty toxic.
Your ex is fucked up.
I'd love if you come up with a big, like, gold envelope, and they're like, oh, my God, I've won. And it just opens up, and it's just a sign that says, your new partner's a bitch.
They're a whore. Run. And they were like, what do you know? You've never had a relationship. And I'm like, hi, yes. And then I run away. Like, you'll never guess my name. By wearing a jacket that says Helen on it. It'd be so fun. Actually, let's look. You're not on your desk. Write that down for later. Because we want to remember that.
Yeah.
That might be something fun that I could do in the summer.
Helen.
Because I'm not doing the first 2 weeks of Fringe.
Helen Bauer, new partner.
New partner.
Ex. Postcode.
Lottery. Tracksuit with name on it, Diamante.
With name, brackets, Diamante.
First visitor, O, ex-partner, new partner.
First visitor.
Wow.
Ex-partner, new partner.
I didn't know that you had such a, like...
Thank you so much.
...efficient way of solving problems. You've come up with... essentially a whole new branch of your career.
This could be my career. I'm actually thinking of wrapping up comedy around now anyway, so this makes total sense for me.
Are you actually?
No, come
okay,
on.
Okay, good.
Imagine if I got starved of that attention. Yeah. What would happen to me? I'd implode. I've got too much of a taste of it now.
Mm. Yeah. I do love when comedians are like, I'm thinking of stopping. And then, you know, you have to be like, no.
I never do that.
I think you do. When people are like to me, like, I think I'm just going to quit. I'm like, you have to be like, no, you can't. We need your voice.
I never do that. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. It's a tough industry. You did a good job.
Really?
Goodbye, yeah.
I always say when people say that, you can't starve us. I just say, like, that's totally fine. You can take a break, and if you want to come back, you come back. There are no rules to say that you have to consistently do it.
Oh.
That's what I say. Like, I never try and argue them out of it, because I also think, like, it is mentally and, like, physically quite... Because you're just constantly on the move, you don't really get to settle down. So it's like, I try and remind people that just because they don't want to do it for a while... doesn't mean they've given up. Mm-hmm. They're just taking a bit of space.
Yeah, that's...
Whereas you go, no, you're the voice of a generation.
Yeah,
never leave, never leave.
Well, maybe that's just saying more about, like, what I want when I say that. I don't want people to be like, yeah, maybe that sounds like it could be a good idea. I want... Which is what my mum does. And I'm like, no, you're meant to say you'll fund my comedy career.
And she will. With that gynecology money, she will fund your comedy career.
Yes.
What's Anne like with comedy? Is she very supportive?
Yeah, my mum loves it. I'm lucky.
Parents do love it. Good.
But my mum likes it, like, too much.
Really?
Like, she wants to see and come to
everything.
Stuff. Yeah. Mm. And I have to be like, no. But she's seen, I think, every bit of TV I've done, even kids' shows.
Well, I think that's kind of...
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I think that's actually quite normal, no?
Yeah.
I would be so offended if my mum didn't watch everything I did.
My dad doesn't watch it. Really? And I'm not offended by that.
Yeah. My dad weirdly loves it.
Really?
Yeah, but he can't look at me when I'm on stage. He has to look down the whole time.
Oh, my God. Whereas my mum can look at me, but my dad's only been once... for Apollo recording and I couldn't see him.
Right. So. I invited my dad for the first time to come and see me. I was doing like new material night like a year ago or something at Vauxhall.
I know.
And I invited my dad and he turned up with 10 friends who it's like a new material gig on a Wednesday.
No.
10 friends who don't even live in London, including like my godfather, and they were just like half of the audience. And I was like, no, this is...
You know what? This is a really good time to thank Sarah and plug your gigs, because I feel like we need people to come and see you.
Not your dad's
so
friends.
So we don't have your dad's friends.
I know,
bringing the crowd in.
One night in Edinburgh, it was just my parents. It was me and my friend Kieran doing a split bill last year. Just my parents came and 870... plus-year-olds that they'd met on the train.
And oh my God, I just melted. Oh, no, I can't handle that.
I've had a very similar experience before. Whenever my parents have flown or train or anything to, like, a place like Edinburgh or Brighton or whatever, they always make friends on the train, and somehow they're always free for the gig. How does that happen?
I don't know. And it's always the gig where there are zero other people in.
Oh, God.
And you're like, wow, I've sold, like, 10 tickets. Amazing. And then it's just your parents and...
Their friends.
How many people are on a train with no plans for that evening or where they're going?
I suppose 70-plus-year-olds make sense.
Yeah. They're just, like, going somewhere on a whim and just, like, we'll just go with the vibes of it. Yeah, because they are. They're the Woodstock year, aren't they? They're the old-school hippies.
That's so true,
it's just like, we're going to Edinburgh, man. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
And they'll always meet someone on the train.
Yeah.
You know what?
God, I wish
we were
that generation.
Yeah. The best generation.
I wish I was a boomer.
You are a boomer. In your heart, I feel like you might be a boomer.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. See, I wanted you to be like, no!
No! Oh, shit. No, you're Gen Z! You're Gen Z! You're so little! You're so tiny!
That's when I say I'm going to...
Slay!
No.
Thrive! Flossy! Do you watch...
You're proper Gen Z.
Mm. Yeah, he watches Bluey.
But
What the fuck is that?
I'm not that young. That's like a new children's show. I think I age up quite a bit in my manner, though. I've been told I have the vibe of somebody raised by their grandparents.
Yeah, you really do. Someone who definitely went home from school and watched Midsummer Murders.
Oh, yes. I did. I really did. I used to love Midsummer Murders.
Wow, you read him like a book.
I went to school with a couple of Andrews.
I feel really exposed. Let's end this episode.
I'm literally thinking of the boy that did write songs for girls and would ask them out and they'd be like, I guess you're going out with
them. Have you guys number? No, I'm in a relationship.
I definitely have his contact details. He used to go to the Ann Bauer School of Drama.
Of course he did.
We don't have time for this.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much, Sarah Roberts, for coming on our show.
Tell them when they can come see you live, because Sarah is like the best stand-up. Like,
she's fantastic.
So fucking funny. Mm-hmm. I told Sunil Patel, who's got no emotions, no feelings, that you were coming on the podcast today, and he was like, she's really good. I was like, I know.
That is so nice.
I know.
Wow. That's really nice. Thanks, guys. I'm so bad at self-promotion.
You can do it. But do it in a cringe voice if you want, if that helps.
Okay. I've got actually quite a lot of stuff coming up, because I'm doing Edinburgh the last week of the Fringe. Like the 20th to the 27th at Cabaret Voltaire.
Cabal.
And I'm also doing Camden Fringe, a couple of dates at the Bill Murray.
At the beginning of the month?
Beginning the 6th and the 15th.
6th and 15th at the Bill Murray. Sarah Roberts, work in progress.
Yes.
And then the last week of Edinburgh at Cab Voltaire. Mm-hmm. All the ticket links on like your Instagram.
Yeah, all on my Instagram.
Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah.
Threads.
Oh, yeah.
No, I know.
I'm like, no, it's taken me so long to get 100 followers on Twitter. I can't try this again.
It's that awful thing of like...
I'm so angry with Elon Musk.
Do you know what I'll do? It's because normally in the show notes, it'll say, follow Sarah, and then it'll be your at, and it'll link to your Instagram. But this time, I'll link it to your Threads.
No.
You're welcome.
What would you rather? Instagram.
I haven't written anything on Threads because I don't want to do the thread the first thread of being like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know?
I'll do that for sure.
Have you done that?
No, I did. What did I thread? I did thread.
Have a look.
Yeah,
I just hate like.
Oh no, I was going to say
it's more like self-referencing the fact that it's like my first thread. And
yeah,
I'm
mine
like,
would have been
wanna,
like that. Mine would have been like
that.
Oh my
that.
God, no, because Andrew's going to call out mine now and it's going to be really cringe and you're going to be like, ugh.
Well, I would have done that, but.
It's a picture of you looking sad and it says, ready to thrive on Threads. and then you also said, would be lush to be the first person to meet their soulmate. You spelled meat like meat, like animal meat.
Fuck off!
Meet their soulmate on Threads.
So I had a spelling mistake in my second thread. Yeah. My first thread, no spelling mistakes.
Nice.
Yeah, you're one for two.
Happy days! Please follow all of us on Threads and Instagram. Come see us at live shows. Fucking subscribe to this podcast. Give it a 5-star rating and review. If you're watching on YouTube, give it a like. Subscribe.
Yeah, comment.
Comment. And once you've completed all of those tasks, and I mean all of them, 3 follows, one for each of us.
Mm-hmm. What about Catherine?
Subscribe.
She's got the shit. She can't. So, yeah.
If you follow Catherine, unfollow her, because that's fucking disgusting right now. And you book tickets to come see each of us, then I will come to yours and give you a rim job. Thank you so much, Sarah Roberts.
That's not legally binding. Thank you.
Thank you so much to all of you who support us on Patreon. We've got a new executive producer, Catherine. Don't look sad. I was
exciting.
Singing very beautifully.
I'm glad about the exec. Go on.
So
who is it?
It's we've got the classics. We've obviously got the OG execs.
Go
we've got
on.
Simon Morse, Guy Goodman, Mary Fox, Annie Turner, Sarah Harkey-Deakin, Oliver Jago, and welcome from producer to exec, Anthony Conway.
Woo!
Welcome to exec level.
Please enjoy the lounge.
Oh my God, how exciting. And also thank you to all of our producers. We've got Richard Bicknell, Elle, Richard Bolt, Sadie Cashmore, Zoe, Rachel Page, Helen A, Abby Wharf, Luke Bride, Kate, Mae Williams, Amy, Victoria Hutchison, Emma Walton, Becky Fox, Tim and Dom, Raya Fink, Cordelia, Amy O'Riordan, Kai Webb, Key Webb, Matt Sims, Emily G, Tristan, Taz, Claire Owen Jones, Harold Van Dyke, David Walker, Jess and Nick, Rachel R, Neil Redmond, Sarah and Molly, Tina Lindsay, Graham Marsh, Leah Overend, Liz Ford, Chloe. Good luck to Em having to edit that.